Well, first, let me just say congratulations. Well earned. It really is an honor. This really is a special day. And as you've probably already figured out, that this is really just the ceremonial aspect. We've already done our due diligence as we have watched these men. We've set them aside. We have questioned them extensively. And we know their hearts. And we know that they have a desire to serve in this church. And so we're excited. It's an exciting day for Hillcrest. And it's always exciting, particularly to see younger men coming along with young families that want to serve in this capacity as a deacon. And so you may have some questions now in your mind, and probably first and foremost is, what have I signed up for? I don't know if you ever think about that or not, but sometimes I have gotten into boards or situations where I'm serving in a pastoral role, and I'm thinking, what did I sign up for? And so we're going to talk for just a moment or two, and I promise I'll be brief, but I want to talk about what is a deacon. What is a deacon? And I really want this to be an encouragement. I know back in the old days they called this a charge. And so I'll try to make this a little bit of a charge where I motivate you. But mainly I want to encourage you, because I've already watched you guys. And I believe you have what it takes. I believe you'll make great deacons because you understand the role of servants. And I might just add that a deacon is not a CEO. It's not a board. A deacon is a servant. By definition, that's what a deacon does in a local church. They serve the church so the church is better and stronger and the people fall more in love with Jesus. A deacon is a servant. And I believe we see that when we see a passage where the first deacons are introduced to the first church in Jerusalem. And that's found in Acts chapter 6. And I believe that in Acts chapter 6, in the first 7 verses, we see exactly what a deacon must be. So if you've got Bibles there, if you'd turn, or you can scroll down on your phone, or you can just listen to me, but I'm going to read the first 7 verses of Acts chapter 6 as we talk briefly about what a deacon must be. The Bible says, in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number. I love that line right there in this passage. That meant that the church at Jerusalem was growing. Growing church is a good thing, but growing churches are also churches that have issues. And you're going to find an issue right here. This may not be an issue that you're very familiar with, but rest assured, this was a very serious issue in the early church. It threatened to split the early church. So they were increasing in number, and there arose a complaint. Deacons, you're going to hear some complaints from time to time. All right, more than just from time to time, probably all the time. But you know what? The way that you respond and the way you handle that really can make or break a church. It really is that important. Yes, it's behind the scenes work, but it's very vitally important. And so there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12, now that's a reference to the 12 apostles or 12 disciples. They were the pastors of this mega church in Jerusalem. And that's actually the 11 remaining. But they were the pastors, they were the ones who preached and taught and shared the word and administered the Lord's Supper. And so these 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples. I like that because that lets me know that we're on the right track in how we do our business here. In other words, Peter didn't stand up and say, you know what, I'm the undisputed leader of this church and what I say goes and this is what's going to happen. Neither did anybody else say that. They gathered collectively to talk about the issue, and I will contend that they decided it congregationally. So they summoned the whole company of disciples, and they made their case. It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Now, they're not saying that disparagingly, all right? They're not saying, I'm a preacher, I'm too good to wait on tables. I'm too good to take care of these widows or sort out this problem. No, they're saying that what I have to do is vitally important. The gift that I have to give you week in and week out is to preach and teach the Word of God. And it doesn't happen easily or automatically. And so I need time to make that happen. And I need helpers to come alongside me and help me take care of these matters. I'm not too good to take care of any needs that I ask these guys to do. But these guys are a great blessing to me when they come alongside me and help me. That's what the apostles are saying here. So here's what they say. Here's their recommendation in verse 3 before the whole church. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Look at verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole company. In other words, they all agreed with it. They were in unity with this proposal. And so they selected these 7 men. Some of them you're going to know from other more famous Bible stories. Others you will have never heard before or since. But the 7 men are Stephen, a guy that you probably know about. He's listed as a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, that's another man you might be familiar with. But these other guys, these are just foreign Greek names that you don't even realize. Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Just a moment, we're going to come to a very special part of this service, and my favorite part. The ordained men are going to lay hands on these deacons, and they're going to pray over these newly installed deacons. Very special moment. I remember when I was ordained as a deacon, and I remember how special that was for me. And it was even emotional. An emotional moment when I heard my uncle and my father praying over me. And you may have somebody you've known all your life that may pray over you in just a moment. Very special time. And so they laid hands on them and prayed over them. But I want you to see how the problem was resolved. Pay close attention to verse 7. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number. And a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. That's Jewish priests. Jewish priests became believers in Jesus Christ. That is significant. That's huge. All because these deacons served well. So, now that we've read this passage, I want to answer my question. What does a deacon do? What is a deacon to be? And guys, if you'll take seriously these 5 responsibilities, you will serve well as a deacon. Here's number 1. A deacon must be a problem solver. Every deacon. Now, some deacons are teachers and some aren't. Some can sing and they sing solos or in the choir and others don't. But every deacon, no matter who you are, behind the scenes or not, is a problem solver. Again, in every church, particularly in growing churches, there are issues that need to be addressed. And you provide a tremendous service, not only to the pastors, but to the congregation, when you can be a problem solver. And that's what these guys were doing. Now, how are we to be problem solvers today? Well, even though this is foreign to us, these widows who weren't getting served properly, the principles are the same. And here's the principles. First of all, churches must be diverse. Churches are by definition diverse. Now, I know that we're not very ethnically diverse in this church right now. We're not very ethnically diverse in our community. But there's diversity in every church. If you grew up in a little country church, there's diversity there. Because no two people see things just the same. And sometimes people get crossways with one another. And so don't think that diversity is bad. I know some churches that don't want to grow. They're content with where they are. Always be welcoming to new people. Always be desiring and praying for growth in your church. It doesn't matter if you're in a big place, a metropolitan area or not. All churches ought to be growing. That pleases God. And this church was growing, so it was a diverse church. Now, it was kind of like us here in Lebanon. All of the believers at that point were Jewish believers. Later on, Paul is going to have his Damascus Road experience. He's going to go out, and Gentiles are going to start trusting in Christ. But right now, the church is a Jewish church. But even the Jewish believers were diverse. Some of these widows hung on to the old ways. They were Hebraic. They still spoke the old language, considered the old ways, and others were more modern widows, and they were Hellenistic. They had adopted the Greek culture around them, and it caused a big dispute in the church. And so these men were set aside to serve the church and help the church in its diversity. Not only that, but with growth comes challenges. Anytime a church is growing, there's going to be challenges, and deacons have to be at the forefront to help solve the problem so the church can keep growing. What if they wouldn't have taken their role seriously? Well, the church would have stopped growing. And we may not be here today. So important that they help the church to grow. So here's the bottom line statement. Because churches are diverse, and hopefully they're looking to grow, churches are vulnerable. Do you know the major area of vulnerability in a church is the fact that Satan wants to get between people. Satan wants to cause disharmony and disunity in the church. And so one of the things you can do, gentlemen, is just be a problem solver. Observe people, be quick to help people, and be quick to solve problems in the church. And that's part of what your temperament or what your calling is as a deacon. Number two, a deacon must be compassionate. Compassionate. That just means that these guys that were set aside really cared about all the widows. Not just one group, not just one segment, but they cared about everybody. And our deacons need to care about everybody in this church. That person that's marginalized, that nobody pays attention to. That person that maybe doesn't look just like everybody else, or think like everybody else, or vote like everybody else. Our deacons need to love them and be compassionate to them. Man, we have a world of hurting people out there today. And they come from all different kinds of situations. They may not be at the same level where you are. A service that you can do, deacon, is simply to be compassionate, to notice them. What does that mean? Well, that means, first of all, you're willing to listen. Listen to them. You know, there's a lot of people that are dying to be listened to. They don't have anybody who really listens to them now. And so we need to listen to people. Second is be willing to mentor. Mentor people. That just means that you're modeling for them. You're helping them as they come alongside you to grow in their walk with Christ. And that doesn't happen automatically. You've got to invite them over to dinner sometimes. You've got to check up on them every once in a while during the week. You've got to be there for them when they go through trials. Give them support and keep them accountable to their new walk with Christ. Third, you got to be willing to manage. You got to be willing to manage. And that's where sometimes there's a mistaken idea that a deacon is a CEO. But you do have to manage. You will be responsible to manage ministries and missions and finances and different areas of the church. Do it well. Do it with a kind and generous and compassionate heart. And then lastly, you've got to be willing to mature yourself. You don't know what God has in store for you. I heard some of you guys saying that earlier, like, I never envisioned that I'd be doing this. This may not be the end, fellas. I've got to tell you, I was ordained as a deacon. 6.5 years later, God called me to preach. You never know how God is going to respond in your life. Keep growing. Keep listening. Keep being compliant to what He wants for your life. As I said earlier, there's two men here. Stephen went on to become the first Christian martyr. And then there's Philip, who became a famous evangelist. All of us know about that story about how he witnessed to an Ethiopian eunuch and led him to faith in Christ. Before that, he'd been witnessing in Samaria. And by the time you get to the end of chapter 8, he's just known as Philip the evangelist. Isn't that great how God has a plan? God may not be finished with you yet. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. But it starts with a deacon being compassionate. Thirdly, a deacon must be a spiritual leader. That just means that deacons need to be men of proven character. We've already talked about that. I read in this passage about how they're to have a good reputation and they're to be full of the Spirit. Do you know Paul writes about that too? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about how deacons should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And they must also be tested first. And if they prove blameless, now that doesn't mean you never mess up. That just means that their character is solid. And guys, I believe we have solid men who are candidates and now inductees into this great service for our church. Goes on to say a deacon must be, deacon's wife, I need to mention this, must be worthy of respect, not a slanderer, self-controlled, faithful in everything. And deacons are to be husbands of one wife. That means that they're a one-woman man, and they manage their own household well, their children and their own household competently. I love how Paul ends this. He says, "For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So deacons are men of proven character. As has already been mentioned, they're to be closely aligned with their pastor. We work together, guys. We're co-laborers for the gospel. And that means that you are in a supporting role. And you know what? I can't say enough about my deacons. They really do support us. And we appreciate that. I know that's not true in every church. But here at Hillcrest, it's good. And there's a good balance of men in our church as well to serving as deacons. And so deacons are closely aligned with their pastor. Fourth point I want to make, we're doing this right now. Deacons are to be called and set apart for service. Called and set apart for service. We observed these gentlemen as they led and used their spiritual gifts in our church, and we called them to this task. We asked them. They didn't come to us and say, gee, I'd really like to be a deacon. Our church actually recognized their leadership, their character, and they were nominated by our church. And so they now have come to the point to where we're going to set them apart. That's what the end of this service is all about. Setting them apart for this special task. Just like we commission a missionary or a pastor. They are set apart to serve well in the church. So here's the deal. They are congregationally approved. That's what we've already done. And they are spiritually affirmed. And that's what we're getting ready to do when we lay hands on them and pray over them. And there's one last thing I want to say, a fifth and final point. A deacon must be committed to evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism and discipleship. Every one of those guys, they blessed my heart today. They talked about both of those things up here. They understand their role. We're to be sharers of the gospel with others. And not only sharers so that people can make decisions to follow Christ, but Jesus said we're to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and I am with you always. And so these guys are to be evangelists or help in the work of evangelism and discipleship. And that's why this story ends well. That's why not only were the widows satisfied and their families, but more people came to the church. Again, people saw, hey, these guys, they've got something special here. They're getting along well. And so they naturally gravitate towards the church as they understood their own brokenness. Like Glenn mentioned earlier, we've got to recognize our problem. And they sought out the solution that comes only from Jesus Christ, as all the fellows said. And so the church continued to grow, and even guys you would never expect came to faith. Isn't that cool when that happens in your church? Somebody you would never imagine gets saved. We've had that happen a few times here. Man, the church just goes crazy. They celebrate, they cheer, tears flow. I love it when that happens. Folks, that can't happen unless a deacon is serving well. And so that's why deacons have to be committed to evangelism and discipleship. So, I finished my sermon today, but I want to give you my charge. I found this and I just had to share it with you. I believe that serving as a deacon is a lot like serving in the armed forces, in the military. Some of you have experience in the military. It's not for the faint of heart. You're going to have to give of yourself. You're going to have to give sacrificially. And you know what? You're going to have some training and growth so that you can serve well. But you can do it if you're committed and motivated and you believe in what you're called to do. Men and women can stand up and serve our country well because they believe in the mission. They understood and understand what they're called to do. So having said that, I want to read this to you. And this is in that along the line of a military servant. Only it's called, I am a deacon. I want you to listen and you'll be motivated hopefully by the end of this. And then I'll be finished. I am a deacon. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. Had to work in eternity there, Scott. I will either retire at the rapture or die, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If my God needs me there, I am there. If He needs me in Sunday school to teach the children, or to work with the youth, or to help adults, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I am a deacon. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a deacon. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a deacon. I'm not a wimp. I'm in a place saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers or gifts or food or cards or candy or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, coddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. You see, when Jesus called me, I had nothing. And so if I end up with nothing, I've still come out ahead. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a deacon. I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am marching heaven bound. Here I stand. That's the attitude that you need as a deacon. A deacon needs to be a problem solver. He needs to be compassionate. He needs to be a spiritual leader. He needs to be called and set apart by his congregation for service. And he needs to be committed to evangelism and discipleship. Thank you, men. Let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you so much for this special day in the life of our church. And I thank you for those who have gathered along with us today to celebrate the setting aside of these four men. I love each of these men. They have already proven to me in my heart that they are servants, that they're going to make great deacons. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to give them the heart to serve. Help them to continue to grow in their role. It's natural to feel like you're not equipped for what you're called to do. I feel that way often. But where God guides, God provides. And I believe you're providing for these men. Thank you for the role models they have. Some have already mentioned these role models in our church and other churches. Thank you, Lord, for their upbringing in the Christian homes that they grew up in. God, I just pray that from this day forward, as they serve here, until you call them home, that they would be faithful. Faithful to their call to serve as a deacon. And God, just bring many opportunities, many people into their lives. And may they come to the end of their lives. May you say to them, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into my kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the call that we have on our lives, each and every one of us. I pray that you would bless these men. Do it for your glory and your sake. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.